And turn with me, if you will, to the gospel as recorded by John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 43. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 560 of your pew Bible. John chapter 1, verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind: a rock solid faith. A rock solid faith. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. We've been looking at the words of Jesus for a while, and especially the question that Jesus asked while he was walking these dusty shores down here. And we come to the question that the Lord asked Nathanael about his faith. "Because I said this, you believe? Upon what is your faith based?" Now, Nathanael believed because Jesus told him where he saw him. A few words from Jesus and Nathanael was a believer. And that's a good thing. Jesus certainly was not rebuking Nathanael, but rather he was assuring him that there was more evidence coming. But the Lord's question is one that should lead us to examine what our faith is based upon. Upon what is your faith based? Too often the faith that people claim is not a personal knowledge of God, but just the traditions passed on to them by others. And some will hear a new theology and run after it and fall for it without checking to find out what God has really said about it. The Bible is our only sure guide to walk according to God's will, because the Bible is God's word. And the Spirit of God will guide you to walk according to the Word of God. So if you want to know God's will, go to the Word and pray in the Spirit for guidance and understanding His Word. To have a rock-solid faith, we must place our trust in the Word of God. But the Word of God is a complex book, and there are many elements in this book. So what are the elements of the Word that will guide us in the establishment of our faith? Well, the answer is in the text. So let us turn to the text so we might discover the elements of a rock-solid faith. Beginning in verse 45, the text said, "Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' And Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.'" Come and see. To have a rock-solid faith, you must trust the word that God has spoken in the past. You must trust that word that God has spoken in the past. Philip read what God had said about the Messiah in the Bible. And all they had at that time is what we call the Old Testament. They just called it the Scriptures, the Word of God. And Philip believed God's word. When he met Jesus, he believed that God has kept his word about sending the Messiah. He went right out to tell of the faithfulness of God to his word. He said to Nathanael, "We found him. We found the one that God promised to send us over 1,500 years ago. We have found the Christ." And what were those promises that Philip had read about in the scriptures, in Moses and in the prophets? Well, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So from the very first book of the Bible, you can find God's promises about his Messiah. In Genesis 3:15, God himself presents the gospel for the very first time. After Adam and Eve had disobeyed God and allowed Satan to interrupt God's plan, God told Satan that you deceived this woman, but I have a plan that you cannot stop. I'm going to send a man born of a woman who will bruise your head, even as you bruise his heel. He was talking about Jesus. Later on in Genesis, God told Abraham, because you have believed me, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing. And through your seed, or through your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. He was talking about Jesus. And God told Moses in Deuteronomy 18:18 that he was going to send a prophet from among the people of Israel, like Moses, but greater. And God said that if they don't listen to that prophet, I'm going to know the reason why. He was talking about Jesus. David spoke about the Messiah in the Psalms when he wrote in Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. He was talking about Jesus. All of the major prophets and most of the minor prophets of the Old Testament wrote about the coming of God's Messiah. But no one wrote more precisely about the Messiah than did Isaiah. In Isaiah 7:14, he wrote that God will give an unmistakable sign when his Messiah comes in the world. 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel. And then in Isaiah 9:6, he wrote that passage that we quote at Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then in Isaiah 53, he wrote the most amazingly accurate and detailed prophecy about the Messiah in all of the Old Testament. He speaks about the coming of the suffering Savior, the one who would come and who would take our sins upon him. Isaiah 53:2, he says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was talking about Jesus. And Philip believed that they had found the Messiah that God had promised in the scriptures of old. And he ran and told his friend Nathanael. And Nathanael said, I'm not so sure about that. Can the Messiah come out of a place like Nazareth? See, Nazareth was a small town. And you would expect the Messiah to come from one of the major cities of Israel, like Jericho or Jerusalem, but not Nazareth. Besides, didn't the scriptures predict that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem? See, obviously they did not know, Philip and Nathanael didn't know the details that Mary, the mother of Jesus, would later on tell Luke about how God had taken them down from Galilee down to Bethlehem so that his Messiah could be born where the scripture said he would be born. So Nathanael didn't understand how Messiah could come out of Nazareth. Nathanael had doubts, but Philip gave him the same invitation that Jesus gave to the first two disciples earlier in this chapter. He said, come and see. Come and see for yourself. And that is our primary focus of our evangelistic duty. Invite others to come and experience the Lord for themselves. Sometimes it's hard to convince people about the goodness of God, especially when they see evil around, all around them in their lives and in their situations. But if we learned last week that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and our primary goal should be to get folks to hear the word of God. And if we do that, the Holy Spirit will decide how to use his word to convict their hearts of the truth. We just need to get them to give God a hearing, to give God a hearing. We need to get others started where we started. When we heard the word that God has spoken in the past and God's Holy Spirit spoke to our hearts and we yielded to God. That is the rock that our faith is built upon, the word that God has already spoken. The word that Isaiah wrote about Jesus, that he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. To have a rock solid faith, you must trust the word that God has spoken in the past. But that's not all. We have to accept God's word from the past, but the Bible is more than just a history lesson. We have to deal with God's word in the present, in the right now. Verse 47 says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. To have a rock solid faith, you must trust the word that God is speaking to you in the present. The word that God is speaking in the present. Before Nathanael could say anything to Jesus, Jesus spoke a word to Nathanael that puzzled him. Jesus complimented Nathanael for being a man of good character. And Nathanael wanted to know how Jesus knew anything about him. Well, if Jesus' first statement puzzled Nathanael, what Jesus said next just blew him away. Jesus said, I saw you when you thought you were sitting all alone. I saw you sitting under that fig tree before Philip even came to you. And Nathanael knew that only God could have that kind of sight. Only God could look into our hearts and see our character. Only God could look across the miles and see us sitting when we're all alone and see what we're doing. Nathanael was convinced and he testified, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Nathanael knew that Philip was right. This is the Messiah. Jesus had just spoken a few words, but they touched Nathanael's heart. He was doubtful before he met Jesus, but as soon as he came face to face with the Lord, his doubts were gone. Have you ever had a face to face with the Lord? Have you ever taken the time to get to know the Lord personally? Not hearsay, not what others have told you about Jesus. Have you ever sought to know the Lord in a one-on-one conversation? And I'm not even talking about, have you ever read about Jesus in the Bible? That's a good start. You need to start there. But the next step is to speak to him. And then ask the Lord to speak to you and listen for his answer. If you've done that, then you'll be able to testify like Nathanael. I know that the Christ has come because I've spoken to him personally. And that's what you need to do to have a rock solid faith. You need to have an open, heartfelt, regular conversation with the Lord on a regular basis. If you only call him when you're in trouble, you don't have much of a relationship. But the more you speak to the Lord, the more you'll hear from the Lord. And the more you hear from the Lord, the more you'll be able to discern and understand the voice of the Lord when he speaks to you. And the more you listen to the Lord, the more trouble you will be able to avoid. And the more you listen to the Lord, the more faith that you'll have that he's able to keep you even when you're in trouble. Philip was convinced by the word that God has spoken in the past. Nathanael was convinced by the word that God spoke to him face to face in the person of Jesus Christ. To have a rock solid faith, you must trust the word that God is speaking to you in the present. To have a rock solid faith, you must spend time listening to what God is telling you about today, about right now. But if you do that, God will give you a bonus. God will let you know that he has tomorrow under control as well. Listen as the Lord answers in verse 50. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. To have a rock solid faith, you must trust the word that God has spoken about the future. The word that God has spoken about the future. If we look closely at the text, we can get a little more insight into why these few words from Jesus had such an impact on Nathanael. Some scholars believe that when Nathanael was sitting on the fig tree, he was reading about Jacob and the dream that Jacob had in Genesis 28 and 12, which says, "And then he, Jacob, dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." Jesus not only saw Nathanael sitting on the tree, but he saw what Nathanael was reading as he sat under the tree. Jacob's name means deceiver, and he lived up to it. Jacob deceived his own father into giving him the blessing that should have gone to his older brother Esau. So when Jesus said, "Behold an Israelite in which there is no deceit," Nathanael must have thought, "What a coincidence. I was just reading about Jacob the deceiver." But then Jesus confirmed that it was more than a coincidence by telling Nathanael not only where he was sitting, but what he was thinking about. Jesus let Nathanael in on the future fulfillment of God's word. That ladder that Jacob saw in the Old Testament was just a symbol of the true ladder between earth and heaven, which is Jesus himself. God's angels and God's saints will travel up on that ladder, that's Jesus Christ. And the Lord told Nathanael that he would be a firsthand witness to the unfolding of God's miraculous works. Jesus assured Nathanael that if his faith was established by the word that he had just heard, he would be even more convinced by the things that he was about to see. What Jesus was saying to Nathanael was, "If you're impressed now, wait until you see me walk on the Sea of Galilee to save you and the others out in that storm. If you're impressed by my words now, wait until you see me speak to the wind and the waves and tell them to be still. If you're impressed by that, one day you hear me say something else. You hear me say that I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. If you're impressed by this, wait until you hear me call Lazarus by name and see him coming, walking out of his tomb, still dressed in burial clothes. If this impresses you, wait until you see me step out of a grave that could not hold me. And when I step out of the grave, the world will never be the same. When I get up out of the grave, I'm going to declare that all power in heaven and on earth is in my hands. When I get up, I'm going to declare that your sin debt has been paid. When I get up, I'm going to declare that the highway to heaven is open to all mankind. When I get up, I'm going to declare that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." What the Lord was saying to Nathanael was, "It is good that you convinced to believe the words that I'm speaking to you now. But Nathanael, you haven't seen anything yet. God's plan is just beginning to unfold." And I believe that. I believe that the plan of God is just beginning to unfold. And I want to stick around and see what the end is going to be like. God is performing more miracles today than he did in the Old Testament. Every time a person accepts Jesus Christ and is saved from the wrath of God, it is a miracle. It's a miracle. But God has promised to perform greater miracles in the future than he's doing right now. The book of Revelation speaks about that time. In Revelation 21 and 3, John wrote, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away." To have a rock solid faith, you must trust the word that God has spoken about the future of all things. To have a rock-solid faith, we must trust the word that God has spoken in the past. Every prophecy of the Bible will be fulfilled. Not one prophecy will fail. We have to trust God and believe his word from the scriptures. To have a rock-solid faith, we must trust the word that God is speaking to us today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To hear God, we must speak to God. We need to make prayer, the feeding of our souls, at least as much a part of our schedule as the feeding of our bodies. We need to do it regularly. Jesus said that man should always pray and not faint. And considering the source of that advice, we should heed it in a hurry. To have a rock solid faith, we must trust the word that God is speaking to us right now. But to have a rock solid faith, we must trust the word that God has spoken about the future. We'll never be able to have a fully clear understanding of the plan of God while we're on this side of glory. We can just catch glimpses every now and then, but the glimpses are wonderful. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, you might interpret that to say that we cannot imagine what heaven will be like. And that's a valid interpretation. But there's also another interpretation just as true and just as valid. We cannot imagine what God has in store for us in this life if we walk according to his word. God is able to surprise you with blessings every day of your life. Just trust God's word. He knows how to bless you. Just trust God's word. He knows how to keep you. Just trust God's word. He knows how to protect you. Just trust God's word. He knows how to prosper you. Just trust God's word. He knows how to preserve you. On God's word, I place my trust and my faith. On God's word, I place my pains and my sorrows. On God's word, I place my today and all of my tomorrows. On God's word, I place my hope and my joy. As the songwriter wrote, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Sinking sand, sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Just a moment, I'm going to give an altar call. If you want a rock solid faith, a faith that will see you through this life and redeem you in the life to come, you just need to come believing God's word. For the Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. You can come as a candidate for baptism or by your Christian experience. The important thing is that you come. If that's your desire, when the call is given, you come. But there are others who should come as well. It may be that you have faith, but your faith is not as solid as it should be, and you know it. If your desire is to have a closer walk with God, you can have it by trusting God's word and by seeking God's faith. You can have it right here and right now. As we go down in prayer, ask God in your own heart to draw you near. And if you ask God, he will answer you. That's your desire when the call is given, you come. But there are still others who are here who've been trusting in God's word for a long time. And you just want to thank God for being your rock and your shelter. You want to thank God for making his word a reality in your life. To thank God for giving you his word to lean on. If that's your desire when the call is given, you come. Come to the altar of God, all who desire prayer. The doors of God's church are open